heartbeat of these two phenomenal human beings, right? And just kind of hear some of their stories around how they've contributed. But before we do that, I thought I would just step back for those of you who have been a part of the journey, just to remind you exactly where we are, and for those of you who haven't been here, to kind of introduce what's been happening. So CBC is in the middle of a series called The Love Series, right? Which is really exploring, you know, that theme that runs through the whole entire scripture, which is love. And that theme that is like really summed up in three statements: love God, love your neighbor, and love each other. And so at the moment, we're on this journey to look at, what does it look like to love each other? What does it look like for us to love one another right in this space? Because Jesus ultimately said, didn't he? He's like, as I have loved you, you must love one another. And so a couple of weeks ago, Campbell introduced us to this concept of consumers versus contributors. And really what he was saying in that is that ultimately, what we often get is that we can very easily consume other people's love. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I think when you have this immature state of love, right, like when kids are younger and they're growing up and those sorts of things, you know, they love their parents because of what their parents do for them. And I think that's often what it is for us. Even when we first fall in love, it's like, I love how you make me feel. But as that love matures, it's actually that it's also that we start contributing, that we start bringing something to the love of the other person, that part of feeling loved is actually how we make others feel, and that's what it means to contribute. And so our goal ultimately in this community is that we would not just be consumers of God's love, of other people's loves, but we would also be contributors. And I find it ironic that right at the moment, like, I don't have any roles in CBC, and so at the moment I'm a consumer of everything, right? So I'm getting to contribute today, which is great, but really they're doing all the contributing. But I think it is just this journey of kind of experiencing and looking into that. So without further ado, I'll get these two amazing people to introduce themselves. I should say that Stomp and Checkpoint and all those things is on upstairs now as well, right? So it's not Checkpoint. I always do it. Truth Finders, thank you. And Sunday Tots is on. So if you do want to take your kids out there, or if your Stomp's brand new, so you can go up there today, so that would be great. Or you can stay and listen to this cool story. So tell us who you are, kind of where you originate, and what you do for a living, just to kind of like kick into it, if that's cool.
Okay. I'm Ruth Carter, married to this man for 3 years. I work in health insurance. Don't ask me to sign you up, because that's not the part that I do. but I'll be happy to tell you about it. I'm born in Hamilton, basically lived here all of my life, moved around Tauranga and Whangarei. Paul's from Whangarei.
A little woo.
Sorry. Hobbies, don't really have many of them, but when I have the chance, I love to make women feel beautiful by doing their makeup and their hair and things like that.
So good. Paul.
So I'm Paul. Ruth let the cat out of the bag. I'm from Whangarei, so
managed to escape though, right?
So. Yeah. So I'm now in Hamilton. And I'm a builder, so I just put things together and hopefully they stay up. What else?
That's good.
Yeah.
Yep. And how do you two both contribute at the moment into CBC and Checkpoint, right?
We run Checkpoint, which is the youth ministry. So from
which is not on at the moment.
It's not on now, but it's on Fridays. And that's like just high school students, basically.
Cool. Right, so I'm going to just kick into it a little bit on this journey of love. So tell us first, how have you experienced God's love?
So I think for me, like I obviously, like I'm what, 24 now, so I've experienced God's love in multiple times in my life and multiple ways. But for me, it's in nature. It's whether I'm running up a hill and you get to this point where there's like a sweet smell, or in water for some reason, I don't know what it is, but I just feel so close to God, and I just feel his love in those moments.
So good.
I experienced God's love probably for the first time when I was 14. I was grieving the loss of my mother. And the thing that I experienced is kind of hard to explain. You kind of have to experience it yourself. But in the moments that I feel like God isn't close or, yeah, he's distant, I kind of hold on and grasp onto that love that kind of, yeah, overcome me and, yeah, try and not let go of that. But it's never the same as the first experience I had. It was kind of like a promise that he made me, that he would never let me go.
That's cool. I just love that we all experience God's love in different ways, right? But they're equally as meaningful, and so that's real cool. God's love is often shown through people. So what have been some of the most impacting experiences you've had as you've seen people showing love, or you've seen God's love through what other people are doing?
So I came to CBC through Stacey. Best friend over there, shout out. just talking about what we were going to talk about today with Campbell, he pointed out something that I hadn't realised yet, and it was kind of quite beautiful with the church people that I'm pointing out today. God kind of was fulfilling that loss. So Lindell, she always gives you that hug and she holds on that little bit longer that makes you feel really vulnerable. Julie Rickard always saying, "Oh, you're such a beautiful girl. Thank you so much for all your hard work," and things like that when I'm on the coffee. And she hasn't had one. And Miran Curtis, she took me in. I'm her adopted daughter. And it's weird because it's like something that girls might think about maybe, but I was really worried who would babysit my children when we lived in Hamilton. So I've asked her and she said yes. So. Yeah, those are the people and that's how I feel love.
It's good.
Mine's quite a specific, moment. As I had a small group leader, when I was in the youth group, and he moved away. And we were real close, like he lived in our house for a few years and stuff like that. But anyway, he moved away for other things. And I never, didn't see him for ages. And then came down, and I wasn't in a good place. And we came down to Touch Springs to a camp. And just something in the message just really connected to me, so I responded to that. And then afterwards, there was an opportunity to counsel. And as they were, pairing people off, I just saw him. Then I was like, man, I just have to go talk to him. And as I think back on it, he took time out of his life to invest into me, and him showing love to me, and it was just if he didn't invest that time into me, I wouldn't have even thought two things to have gone to him and talked to him. It would have just been I'll just go to whoever, but because I knew I had that relationship with him, that I went straight to him.
Yeah, it's so good. I just love that, so much of that is about connection, right? Like in relationship. And so much of the way that we experience love and love each other is actually through one-on-one relationship and people reaching out to us. So that's real cool. I think it's also there's times that we're consuming other people's love and God's love. So do you want to talk about some of those? Because it's not always bad to consume the love of God and the love of other people. So, yeah. The question, the official question is, what is on your consumer list when it comes to God and his family?
When it comes to God, my prayer that I always ask for is wisdom and discernment. My auntie told me when I was younger, you need wisdom in your life, so pray for that every day. So,
That's
and it's
cool.
Important in my role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually good advice, right? I don't think she was having a dig. I just think it's an amazing advice.
No, I was a very wise child.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but I often ask that God would make me softer. like, not so hard. Does that make sense? The people who know me will make sense. Yeah, and that God would, I guess, strengthen my character. That he would correct me in times that I'm wrong. And in terms of the family that we have going on here, I ask for friendships, deep friendships, ones where I can be vulnerable in, that because of the ministry that we're in, there's no expectations of who I am as a person, that I am not perfect. Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, my list is, I guess, quite similar to Ruth's, in that that's always been a prayer of mine, is that I'd have, that God would give me wisdom and discernment. And the other thing as well is, I guess for me, is that I would experience God's love. Like, it's so easy to know about God's love. Like, we read it, and growing up in a church, like, it just gets drilled into you, but then to actually experience his love, I think that's something that I always pray for now. And then from the, I guess, on my consumer list for family is, it's just godly men to, like, mentor me or to get around me. Like, that's, I don't know, I've had, through different stages, guys come in, but never, it's never been, like, a consistent thing. That makes sense?
Yeah, it's cool. I think one of the things that you'll be picking up on this, right, like, is it's okay to experience love from other people, and it's okay to consume, because all of those things you actually need if you want to start to contribute. And if you're like, if you're trying to contribute when you don't have people around you supporting you and loving you, and you're not experiencing God's love and getting his wisdom, then the contribution becomes really dry. And so well, now we're going to just kind of switch to that. So, like, when was the first time that you realized you could be a contributor to God's family? We're all good.
For me, so the church that I grew up in, and even, like, the family that I grew up in, I'd say was a family that served. And then even at church, like, we didn't have any paid positions or anything like that. So it was kind of like the church was, everyone just gets in and helps out. And so right from a young age, I've seen that. And I've also, I guess that's when, like, I probably started for me when I was in high school, and I was helping out run, like, a stomp. Like, it wasn't called stomp, but it was like the stomp age group. And so that's when it started. And then pretty much, I was thinking the other day, like, I don't think since I started I've really ever stopped. And so it's always been, like, if you love Jesus, you serve, you know?
Yeah.
I guess that's the, yeah. So I haven't really got a specific time. It's just that it's always been sort of embedded into
How old were you then? Like, when would you have started? Like,
I might have been 15,
yeah, right,
or something like
that. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I did Bible in schools, Sunday school, growing up in a Christian family. I can't really remember. Sunday school, I was pretty young, but I don't know, 11 or something. I did an internship. Well, we did an internship at Word of Life. And
is that where you met?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Worked again, right? Like, Word of Life's renowned for that. But carry on. Sorry.
No, it's all right. What was I saying?
Oh, yeah.
yeah, so we did Word of Life, and that was full-time ministry. And then we got asked to lead Checkpoint a few years ago, which was when I realised what being a contributor for this family actually meant, because it's a whole lot of, it's way different because I work as well, like, outside. So all the time that we spend contributing to Checkpoint is, I guess, outside our normal life, yeah, or whatever. Yeah, I guess now that I'm here and I'm doing it, I know what it means to be a contributor for this family. Yeah, and to be a volunteer.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's real cool. It's interesting, eh? Because as you get older, actually, contribution can become harder, just because you do have this fullness of life. And And so you're trying to slot everything around it. So just really appreciate, again, what you guys do already just with Checkpoint. But tell us about how you're contributing now.
Personally, myself, so we lead Checkpoint. And amongst that is catching up with leaders. Haven't yet done that this year. What, it's April though? Oops. Small groups is just like we have a group of, I have a group of girls who are, what are you guys here now? Year 10, eh? Year 10. They grow up so fast. I serve on the coffee team as well. It's been really cool learning. I'm not amazing, but not a coffee fanatic.
Julie loves it though, so.
Yes. Thanks, Julie. I don't know. And then also I'm part of the Girls of Soul team, but we've been taking a break in the last year just reorganising. Yeah.
That's real good. Lots of contribution. So good.
Yeah, so with the Checkpoint thing, it's the same. It's the same deal. We run it and do whatever we have to do to make it happen. And then I help out on Sundays with service coordinating every now and then. And then along with that, we also meet up with other people from the church and outside of the church. Not on a weekly basis, but sort of fortnightly to monthly sort of basis. So,
yeah, that's cool. Have you ever had a time when you've been a consumer for a season?
Yep. So in my second year of study, when I was doing pathways and doing my internship, I sort of halfway through the year, I just was putting too much time into stuff and not enough time into me and my relationship with God. And I got to a point where I burnt out. And, at that point I was quite, vulnerable and had help from, Dave. It just happened to be that he was at the block course, which was, an intentional week just to study. And he was there, and so he helped me through some stuff there. And then also, one of the lecturers, so in my second year there's only five students, and so we're real close. And we'd arrived there on the Monday, and I don't know why, but this particular time we went around and just asked how everyone was, and I just told them that I just felt burnt out. And then I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but he's just like, whoa, 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 and stopped, and everyone just prayed for me, and it was the coolest thing ever in that moment. And then afterwards we had a chat. I had a chat with the lecturer, and he gave me this line from a book, and it was he called it a 911 call. And basically it was just it's an emergency, and he's like, what you need to do is you need to take some time off and just seek God and just get this situation sorted, get to the bottom of it. And me being me, thought, yeah, I'll do that, and then didn't actually do it. And so it's even something that's affected me from. So this is 4 years ago, and it's something that my relationship with God has never been the same. And I think that if I had listened to him and just taken that time, instead of going back into the busyness of life, that maybe my relationship with God through those years would have been better. Even now, as I look back, I just don't feel like my relationship with God was where it was previously to that. And so at that point I was, very much a consumer of people and of God as well.
Mm. Cool. Thank you.
For sure. Yep. At the end of last year, I was honestly spent. I had a lack of friends around me at that point, and yeah, I was doing a lot of it out of my own strength. You get to it. I'm 25, but I've realised I'm not bulletproof, that I just can't keep running the race anymore. Well, I need rest. Stress affects me physically. I'm not someone who's frantic in the head. It affects me. I'll get injuries or headaches and stuff like that. Yeah. And at that point, I was kind of wanting someone to, like, carry me out of the war. It sounds so dramatic, but I guess that's kind of what it felt like. But, yeah, I've come to know that I do need my time. Paul kind of hates it sometimes, but I'm like, I wish I could have a spa day every day. Oh, not every day.
Every day. Don't we all?
like, every week. Just be a housewife, babe. You know? but I choose to, like, take these times of rest during my week so that I can... so that I can serve, so that I can be excited about serving. I take the time so that I can spend time with God so he can fill me back up again. Yeah. Not doing that last year had, a massive impact on my relationship with God. I like control. Like, I like to be in control of things, and that's because of, like, my past and stuff, but... yeah, it's hard to give it over to God and ask for help because I'm an independent woman. but yeah, it's taken a toll, but I'm getting back there because, yeah, I realised I wasn't bulletproof anymore.
Mm. So good. And thank you both for sharing that. Like, I think I was talking to Paul at the beginning, right? Like, it's like a lifetime ago that I was leading youth group, right? Leading that age group, like almost literally for you guys because you were like 3 and 4 or something. And so, but like over the years, even as I've got older, I always thought that everything would get easier for me. That, like, you know, I'd look at all these super spiritual people when I was your age and go, like, oh, it's going to be so much easier as it goes, but it isn't, and you have these seasons where it's like you're down and you feel disconnected from love and God, but you still have to keep pushing on and contributing. And so do you want to talk about a time when you chose to contribute even though you didn't feel like you could either or were able to contribute, really?
We went to some of the ladies from church. We went to Sisters last year, so that's September. And I was like telling Paul, I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. I give up. And then Priscilla Shira, is it? Yeah. She said, be faithful in the small things. And I was like, oh, okay. And even the small things is dishes, things that I don't always like doing. But I appreciate it when you guys do it, the checkpoint leaders. It just fills me with so much joy and happiness that, like, you know, they see a need and they do it. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Throughout our time doing checkpoint, we've had different moments where one of us has been like, we want to tap out. And God was obviously working in the other one's heart to say, no, we're going to stick through it. And so we sort of help each other out of that. But I remember one in particular time, service coordinating is a great thing to do. But waking up really early on a Sunday morning when you're working 6 days a week isn't super ideal. And so I just remember Dave, he hit me up one time and came in and he was doing stuff and he was talking about how we don't want people at CBC to serve first for the sake of serving. And I was like, oh, felt so convicted right then because that was pretty much me. And I was like, oh. So, but that was quite a challenging thing. But that was, that was a season where I was just like serving just for the sake of serving. Yeah. Rather than serving because I felt called to or felt led to serve. But,
yeah. Even when you are serving and you are in a good spot, sometimes it can still be hard, right? Like,
Know,
and you guys have got the Nickel Kids in your group and I know that'll be pretty hard. And so, can you tell us about some times, and it's just interesting because, like, even youth, it's one of those things that, you have all these kids arrive, but all their parents have different expectations and all the kids have different expectations. And it's real hard to sometimes feel like you're even just kind of feeling like you're living up to it all. So has there ever been a time when you felt underappreciated or unappreciated as you've served and contributed?
Yeah, so I think a big part of it, like a big part of our role with Checkpoint is it's not actually on a Friday night. Like whether it's planning a message or planning a series or organising who's on what role or organising a term or organising a year, like none of that gets seen. And so a lot of what people might see is us just turning up on a Friday night thinking, oh, they're just winging it or they're just like, this is just what they do. But there's so much more time and effort that we put in. It's almost like a full-time job outside of our full-time job. And so sometimes, yeah, we do feel unappreciated. But then there's like, we'll get a text and it's like God just knows right when we need to hear that we are doing something good, whether it's a text or an email or a phone call or walking through on a Sunday morning and people just saying that we're praying for you or like you're doing a good job. And it's like, yeah, there are moments of feeling that unappreciation, but at the same time, like we do feel appreciated as well.
Mm. So good.
For me, at Checkpoint, amongst leaders, I try to create a culture of appreciation, whether that's the small thing, thank yous, or saying something that we appreciate about one another. I think it's starting to work. There has been a few times, like when I've been on coffee, where I feel unappreciated. Like it's a special coffee that does cost money, and it's just a small donation. And here I am, a volunteer, and when someone complains about it or they're not happy with it and I notice that they haven't put a donation in to Rahab, I kind of feel unappreciated then. But I just take that to God. Like, I'm like, oh, God, I feel unappreciated. Like, because those sorts of things kind of stop you from wanting to contribute. Yeah. But no, I just take it to God and he helps me through that. So, yeah.
It's real good. I think it's, as I listen to you both talk, there's that reminder, right? Like that often we can have throwaway comments that actually devalues the other person without even thinking about it. And I think we're all guilty of that, right? Like we're in this space where we're consuming, and because we're consuming, suddenly we're like, oh, that's not good enough. And we forget to go like, wow, what are these people doing so that I can consume? And I love that you like a lot of it goes unseen, is what you said, Paul, right? Like a lot of what has gone on to be here right today is not everything that happened today. It was everything that's happened over the weeks and months leading up to this point. And it's just a big reminder for me. I also want to say before I move on, like we appreciate you so much. Like these guys aren't just in Checkpoint, right? Like, they're in a whole bunch of other things and they're giving out all of the time. And it means so much that you do that. It means so much that you've done it for my kids and for a whole bunch of other people's kids as well. So I don't want to kind of pass that moment by without saying thank you. And we do appreciate you. Super good. I'd love for you to end by telling us some of like the highlights or wins, because we're kind of talking about the hard parts of like contributing, right? But there is these moments of joy that come not from encouragement from somebody else or from God, but just from contributing and seeing the wins. So tell us about some of those.
The rewarding things for me are like seeing the young people grow, not in height. Well, even that brings me joy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tall, like, or whatever. But more in their faith or just who they are in their character. I love seeing that. I love the rewarding thing is that we develop great friendships with people and with our leaders. Like, I would say that we are a family and I would do anything for these people in my team. I'm kind of like the mum that is like hard on them, but loves them so much on the inside. Just so you know, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the laughter that we have together, like when we go on camps or, you know, just have a chill night watching movies or something like that. Yeah, that is what keeps me going.
I think, yeah, pretty much everything what Ruth said. But yeah, I guess for us, like leading the leaders of Checkpoint, like there is a sense of like family there and like unity, which is so cool to see. And like see that develop and grows even more. And then probably my, like the reason why we do Checkpoint is to see young people grow and see them, I guess, own their own faith, that they wouldn't be doing what their parents does just because their parents do that. And so when we get the chance to see the youth actually do that, like that is the most encouraging thing ever. And not knowing that it was us that did it, but just knowing that like they have, like they're growing. And then also even just like when you have conversations with them and they just like have a knock, like just an amazing answer, and you're just like, what? Like I didn't even know you could even think like that. And it's just like, wow, this is so cool, just to see that God is just fully working in their lives and changing and shaping them to be a man or woman of God.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's real good. I think you guys get a bit out of that, right? Like, get encouraged by it. I think one of the things that, you know, just kind of wrap up that I really like from today is that there is this period of time that we all have to consume. And so don't be ashamed if you're consuming. And because we are actually all consuming, even if they're the biggest contributors. And in fact, those times that we stop consuming and keep trying to contribute are the times that we actually miss the love of other people and the love of God. And so we want to be kind of focusing in on that. I mean, it's obvious that sometimes when you're contributing, right, like it's hard work. I think everybody here that has contributed knows that it can be incredibly hard. And the thing that I'd love for us to all take away about from that today is to just go like, is there somebody that you see right now that's doing a whole lot of hard work, and how could you encourage them? Because there's just these examples after example after example of where a little word can like make somebody's heart start beating fast again, you know, like just make them feel appreciated. And so maybe that's something you can lock into your mind just this week, is to go away and encourage just one person and like uplift them and thank you for thank them for their contribution. And then the last thing I would just say is like, as you contribute, it is, despite the hardness and the need to consume, like it is incredibly rewarding. The word that both of them used was growth. Right, like I think as you contribute, you grow. As you contribute, you get to see people around you growing. And you only get to ultimately experience more of what God is doing. And so it's an encouragement to you, if you're contributing, to keep at it, because like you will see growth. And if you're not contributing, to maybe look for an opportunity to contribute, because you will see growth and you will experience more of God. I thank you guys. In a moment, I'm going to hand over to Paul, and he's going to talk about the contribution. So he's contributing to Checkpoint. He's going to talk about the contribution of two young guys in Checkpoint who are starting to contribute, right, which is amazing too. But let me just pray for the two of you just as we end up. Jesus, we just thank you, firstly, that you gave your life for us, Lord, that we might know and experience and feel love. That, Lord, we might have an understanding of what it is to consume and experience love because of the fact that you love us. Lord, might all of us this week, but particularly Paul and Ruth, might they be drawn into your love this week. Might they know it and experience it in new and unique ways. Lord, I just thank you for Paul and Ruth. I thank you for their contribution over the years. I thank you that you have just placed a desire to serve in their hearts. And I just pray that you give them the wisdom that they ask for, Lord. I just already see that they're wise beyond their years, but just continue to answer that prayer for them and continue to help them just see and experience growth in people's lives as we move forward. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus.